There's no one like him, and yet our attention can be easily diverted, can't it? You know, with things in life, we get busy and stuff comes up. But we need to be in awe of Jesus' life, his ministry, his word, and his plans for our lives, because that's what should define your life and mine, is his life, his word, his ways. That's what should define us. And we're going to look at it briefly at a passage in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17 today. I'm not going to get heavily into it because there's just one part of it that I want to talk about. But people are following Jesus around the country. As he's going around, he's doing amazing things wherever he goes. Being with Jesus had to be an exciting place to be. You never knew what he might do next, but you wanted to be there. And whatever would happen, it was going to be either amazing or absolutely miraculous. One writer said this: if you'd been in Galilee in those days, you'd want to be with him too. He spoke words of life day after day, washing people's souls and making them whole with the truth. And where he went, miracles took place. The sick, the mentally anguished, the demon oppressed, the lame, the blind, the lepers, all found hope because in his presence, through his touch, life could be different for them. Yes, you'd be in that crowd too. And one day Jesus is in a small community. Well, I'm not sure how big it is, but a community called Nain, and he comes upon a funeral. The only son of a widow. And as Jesus approaches this funeral procession, we're going to see him do something that he had never done before. He's going to raise the widow's son from the dead. Would you have wanted to have been there that day? It'd be an amazing place to have been, wouldn't it? Can you imagine what it would have been like when that young man sat up? You know, some people, they followed Jesus because they wanted maybe another free meal. Some followed him because they wanted to see the spectacular. Some were maybe there because a friend invited them and said, you need to be here. Some were following Jesus because they wanted to find a way to discredit him. Others followed Jesus because they'd been there for a while. They had seen truly amazing things happen. They'd seen evil spirits cast out. They'd seen Jesus reach out and touch lepers and heal them. If they were around when the day when Jesus went to Peter's, his mother-in-law was healed. And then many more showed up that night and were healed as well. They saw a paralyzed man walk. And it was during this time that Jesus also called his disciples. Peter himself was involved with an amazing catch of fish. And yet Jesus says, from now on, you're going to be a fisher of men. Following Jesus would have been an amazing place to be. There would never have been a dull moment. But I think one of the most amazing reasons for following Jesus was his teaching. Jesus' words penetrated and stirred their hearts. Jesus showed them that there was more to understand than what they had ever heard or understood from Scripture before. If they were there for the Sermon on the Mount, they would have found it deeply challenging. Jesus expected his followers to be salt and light in the world. That's you and me. He told them that they needed to love their enemies, which was so countercultural to what they understood. He challenged them to forgive others. He taught them adultery was no longer just the act, but where their eyes and their heart went also. He talked about what was in their hearts and challenged them to store up treasure in heaven rather than on perishable earthly treasure. He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's the question for us today is, what do our hearts treasure today? People never heard teaching like this before, and they were challenged deeply. Jesus' teaching made them examine their hearts, their motives, their lives. He challenged them through his teaching, his word, to examine the foundation of their life and whether it was built on sand or rock. In Luke chapter 6, 46 to 49, Jesus said these words that must have just pierced right into their heart. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Does that statement challenge us to examine our lives and what our foundation is? Jesus' words are serious and we need to listen intently. What is our foundation? Will I listen to his words and then put them into practice in my life? After the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, 28 to 29, it says the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. They were astonished at his teaching. And yet near the end of Jesus' ministry, after 3 years in Mark 11, 18, it said the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for ways to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. He had something they could never dream of. And Jesus' teaching struck at the core of people's lives back then, just as his word has the power today to do the same to us and to bring us to a place of conviction, repentance, making our lives right with him. And after Jesus challenged the people as to why do they call him Lord, Lord, Jesus then, he travels through Capernaum on his way to Nain where he heals a centurion's servant who was dying. The centurion didn't even feel he was worthy to come into Jesus' presence, but he knew that Jesus' words had power and authority, and he knew that all he had to do was say it and it would be done. And his servant was healed. And that brings us to Nain. Would you have wanted to have been there at Nain that day? When Jesus comes along that funeral procession, he goes up to the mother of the son and says, "Don't cry." And then he goes over to the man carrying the son. And in Luke 7, 14 to 15, he says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been there? He had done many miracles, but he had not raised the dead yet. Can you imagine the atmosphere of that moment, just being there? To go from a funeral procession to a party in seconds because Jesus said, with authority, get up. It would have been an amazing place to be. Imagine going home at the end of the day and telling your friends and your family, anyone you could find, what had happened. You couldn't hold that in. You had to tell somebody. Your heart would be bursting with excitement about what had happened and who this guy is. Can you imagine the joy of this son's mother who now had her son back? She was already a widow, and life would have become increasingly difficult for her because your family was your support system. But now her son was alive because he said, "Young man, wake, rise up, get up," and he's alive. But the verse that really grabbed my attention in this passage is Luke 7, 16. They were all filled with awe and praise God. After what had happened that day, awe for God should have been unmistakable. It'd be like you could feel it. The power and the presence of God was there in such an amazing way. My question for all of us here is, what are we in awe of today? Does God capture our attention the way he did back at Nain that day? When God saved you from your sins, do you remember what it was like for you and realizing he just set you free? The awe that you had for him? The challenge for me today is, am I still in awe of Jesus today, or am I just caught up in everything that's going on around me? Today, I want us to think about how amazing our God is, and some of those songs that we sang today point us to just look at how amazing he is. And if you've lost your awe for God, I hope that you get it back. I hope that you want it back. Paul Tripp says this about the word awe. He says, awe means that we look at everything, that you look at everything in your life through the lens of God's existence and glory. And you will surrender all of your life to his purpose, humbly recognizing that when you do this, you are not offering what is yours to him, but returning what he already owns back to him for his use. We are returning what he already owns back to him for his use. We are his. Tripp's saying that we are to give what we have back to God for his use and do whatever he wants to do through each and every one of us. It has eternal significance. If you've lost your awe for God, I encourage you as I ask these questions just to think about it. Have I become too familiar with Bible stories and they no longer impact my heart like they once did? Because I just know them. Do I spend time with Jesus and the Holy Spirit like I once did? Do I take God for granted and just assume that because I call myself a Christian, God's just going to take care of me, even if he's no longer my first love? And losing our first love in Jesus can too easily happen. It can happen to followers of Christ. In Revelation 2:4, Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says, you have forsaken your first love. And Jesus doesn't say to them, you know what, guys, I understand, it's okay. I understand how life can be overwhelming and busy and exhausting. He did not say those words. But instead, he says, you need to repent. You need to repent. Losing our first love in Jesus is never, ever justifiable, regardless of what is going on in our lives. And yet, losing our first love in Jesus can too easily happen. And maybe we've experienced that at some point. But we cannot be oblivious to getting our relationship with Jesus back to the forefront of our lives. He expects to have first place in your life and my life at all times. He's Lord. That means above our spouse, above our children, our grandchildren, our work, our dreams, whatever. He wants first place. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Set your heart and your mind on things above. These aren't just suggestions or options that we can pick and choose from. Back in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Paul Tripp says this also about awe, and it's kind of scary. He says, when awe of God is absent, it is quickly replaced by awe of ourselves. If you are not living for God, the only other alternative is to live for yourself. And this is not where we want to go with our life, because it's a dead-end street. We need to think of what Paul said in Romans 12:1-2, where he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Scripture should cause us to marvel at how amazing our God is. He gives us every reason to be in awe of who he is if we will just focus on him. We need to see God for who he is and know that he is worthy of worship and awe all the time. We must know who God is and know who we are. We are God's children. We are his children. He is Lord. He is God. And what was said of the people at Nain that day, I once said of you and me, that they were all filled with awe and praise God. We have no excuses. Paul said this in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You think of our God, our Creator, who spoke this world into existence and then made us in his image. Can you grasp how special we must be to him for him to create us in his image? Do you believe that he's interested in your life today, wherever you're at? Do you believe that he has a purpose for your life today? The challenge for many in this busy, busy world is this: will we make the time to know Jesus as Lord? When we sang the song Indescribable, I think of Isaiah chapter 40. And it's just a chapter that just shows us how incredible our God is. Like, he can measure the waters of the earth in the hollow of his hand. He can hold the dust of the earth in a basket. He can weigh the mountains with a scale. We cannot begin to comprehend how amazing our God is. Isaiah says to look to the heavens, and we sang it this morning, and know that he created it all. He knows all of the stars by name. I just spent 3 weeks in Summer English Institute, and I never grasped all my students' names at the end of 3 weeks. And he knows all the stars by name. What an amazing, amazing God. The psalmist says this in Psalm 19, 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. We just need sometimes to go out into the dark of night and look up and be in awe of our God. What do you think when you see the northern lights when they're dancing across? It's amazing, isn't it? The sun sets, the sun rises, rainbows, hoarfrost, so many different things that our God has made and we get to enjoy. How can we not be in awe of our God? As we turn our attention back to Nain for a few moments and think about Jesus raising the dead, we should no longer be, well, how did he do it? We should just be saying, why not? He's God. Why not? He can raise the dead. He's all powerful. He just speaks the word. He says, young man, I say to you, get up. And he got up. Nothing is impossible for our God. Nothing. And when we are in awe of God, we know that nothing is too difficult for him to work in and through our lives. If he has spoken to your heart about something, you know that he has the power to bring it to pass. And then sometimes, regardless of our circumstances, when we feel like we're maybe just barely keeping our head above water, God walks with us. You think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They ended up in the fire because they would not deny God. But I love what one guy said. He said, God never promised to keep us out of the fire, but he promised to walk with us in the midst of the fire. He's there. He's with us. And I know sometimes in our Christian walk, sometimes we can say, God, do you really love me? Look what's happening in my life. But I would encourage you, if you think like that at times, to stop. Think of the cross, the flogging, the nails, the crown of thorns, his shed blood. Jesus loved us so much that he took all of that pain and abuse for us, and it killed him. He died for us. He died for our sins in order to set us free. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to set us free. In 1 John 4:10, he says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is love. That's an amazing, amazing love. God's love for us is just, it's almost beyond comprehension to understand how deeply and amazingly he loves us. And whenever we celebrate communion, we're remembering God's amazing love for us. Jesus rose from the dead, forever freeing us from sin's deadly grasp. And yet I know that there's some Christians today that they struggle to say, am I really free? I don't feel free. I'm not going to read all of Romans chapter 6, but I'm going to read a few verses. But go home and read Romans 6 to understand the freedom that we have in Christ and what he's done for us. In Romans 6, 1 and 2, Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? In verses 6 and 7, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. In verses 10 to 14, the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. And I love how he begins verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law but under grace. That's what our God did for us. Do we comprehend how free our lives are from sin? That's another reason to just stand in awe of who our God is. And if we'll believe what Paul is saying in Romans 6 and other passages throughout the Bible, our lives are going to be transformed forever by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives to accomplish more than we ever thought possible. If we believe what we have just read, how can we not be in awe of our God? He has given us new life. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And because of who God is and what he has accomplished, let us now run with perseverance the race that he has marked out for us. The writer of Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So the things that hinder can be things that they're not even bad, but they're things that get in the way. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus fulfilled God's plan. The race is now there for you and I to run and to fulfill and to cross the finish line. We must press on. We must persevere and don't stop. We need to choose to get rid of the junk in our lives that slows us down. Because his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Will we fix our eyes on Jesus and aim for the finish line and don't stop? Because that's a choice that only you and I can make. We began today by looking at Jesus raising a man from the dead. We know that Jesus did miracles back then, but we know that he's still a miracle worker today. We can look at the heavens and see how amazing our God is. We can look around us and be captivated by the imagination of God. One lady in our church down in Cutknife, she'd say, did you see the sunrise this morning? She said, that's just God's, it's eye candy for us to enjoy. He allows us to see it and just go, wow. And Paul clearly tells us that we're free from sin's grasp. It doesn't mean that there won't be a fight. But know this, the battle has been won. As Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. We've been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We need to know who God is and who we are and whose we are. We need to have an eternal kingdom perspective on everything that we do. We are children of Almighty God, every day. The Father's plan for you and me is to be Christ to this world every day. One person said this, faith in Jesus is a difficult journey. Nobody ever said it would be easy. But then they go on to say, but the reward is Christ himself. And Jesus said this in John 17, 22 to 23, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me. Our God is amazing. And we need to be in awe of who he is every day. He will forever change our lives when he is Lord and Savior. Don't allow busyness and life to get in the way of knowing who he is. Because his love for us is beyond compare. His grace is extravagant. His mercy, we didn't even deserve it, and yet he gave it to us. Let us be in awe of our God and run the race that he has planned for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are an awesome and an amazing God. There is no one like you. Lord, we can go outside on a dark night and maybe see the northern lights, or we see the sky just lit up with stars. We see the sun during the day, the moon. And we know that you spoke them into existence. God, it's hard for us to fully understand how powerful and how amazing you are. But you love us. You made us in your image. You have a plan for our lives that is amazing. Lord, none of us fully know what you want to do in and through us. And until we breathe our last breath, we're not done. We're to be salt and light in the world in which you've placed us in. And Lord, I pray that you will fill each and every one of us who are gathered here today. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Help us to walk out with a confidence and an awareness of who you are, and just that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will never change. And Lord, help us to walk in that knowledge and understanding. May it invade everything that we do, everything. And Lord, as we walk, we might see some little thing and just go, wow, God, you did that. Lord, help us to never lose our awe for you. Help us, oh God, to keep our eyes fixed on you and to seek first your kingdom, for you are worthy of worship and awe all the time. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing salvation. Lord, may you continue to have your way within our hearts and lives as we continually surrender them to you, saying, Lord, use me. From the youngest to the oldest, Lord, use us for your glory and honor. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much, Scott, for that reminder, that challenge for us. Just so easy for life to draw us away from how awesome God is. Thank you for that. Make sure that you stop by. Scott and Shannon will kind of be at the back there, I'm sure, and by their table. Make sure you stop by there and visit a bit, and grab a prayer card if you don't have. Get on their list for their updates. And we want to continue to pray. We've been praying when we meet for prayer Friday mornings. We've been praying, and I know a number of you are praying as well. So we want to continue to do that for them as they learn Russian and continue to minister in the Ukraine. And we just want to continue to remember them. And so with that, we'll just close. God bless, and may we walk in the awe of God this week and be challenged with his call for us to live for him with all of our lives. Have a great week.